Thank you because our ears hear, our hearts receive, and our minds conceive. In Jesus' name. Yeah, we're looking at concerning the gifts of God. And we have been able to say this, that the teaching of the Word of God brings effectiveness to how much we flow with the Holy Ghost. Most people do have the Holy Ghost. They do have the power of the Holy Ghost, but because they have not been taught, they've not been able to walk in the depth of the things of God. So what we're teaching basically is to make you aware and alert. Because what you don't know won't work for you. You've got to know it. Then you've got to understand it. And when you understand it, then you can practice it. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, that's in italics, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, call it Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. That word there is ministry. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, the same God which worketh all in all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto us, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captive the captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but also that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that ascended is the same also that ascended far above all things, all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, I've seen people argue, particularly those who try to look at this scripture, because Paul got this scripture from Psalm 68, and they think that Psalm 68 renders it a little bit differently. Because Ephesians 4:11 talks about, 4:8 says he gave gifts unto men. But Psalm 68, run there quickly. I believe you know why we're doing this. If you've been coming to church on Sunday, you know we have been doing a study on the book of Galatians. And in the afternoon, we've been teaching on salvation throughout the scriptures. And we've been able to establish many things we read in the New Testament from the Old Testament. And so the same way here, we see Psalm 68, where you have let God arise and let his enemies scatter. In verse 17, it says, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. In verse 18, thou hast ascended on high, and you have led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among us. Verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Now, you wonder, this one says he receives. Now, there's no contradiction there at all, because as we have taught here, that the gifts are found in the church. The gifts are found in the body. Jesus received for us. He received for us. So, it's not like Jesus stands like this, then he gives gifts unto men. The gifts are in the church. So the gifts are received for the church, are received in the church, and the gifts, therefore, are demonstrated through the church. So there's no contradiction, rather it's just a clarity of thought that makes us see what I just showed you now. Do you follow what I'm saying? I get what I'm saying. So last week we said that the things of the Spirit are in Christ. And we did go over that the last time. Romans chapter 12, that's the other scripture. As a reference point. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. What there is function. For we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, what a prophecy, let us prophesy according to portion of faith. It goes on and on. Now, I will just say this. This is not part of the sermon today, but just I asked a question last week that if he ascended up on high and gave gifts unto men, that means that the gifts that we read afterward in verse 11, the apostolic office, the prophet office, the evangelist office, the pastor and teacher were given after the redemptive work, that when Jesus ascended up on high, then he gave the gifts to men. Now, the question would now be, how come the 12, minus Judas, the later Matthias, were able to transit from before Jesus died? They were called apostles. Then when he died, again, they were called apostles. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, if we are reading here that it was when he died and rose that he gave these gifts unto men, or gave these gifts as men. So, why did Peter did Peter stop being an apostle at one point? Let's see some truths in there so that you can have a small understanding. Now, in Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 9, Jesus sent some 12 folks out to preach, and the 12 were called apostles because of that mandate. They were called apostles. He called them as disciples. He sent them out as apostles. One of them was Judas, and you know him very well. And there was Peter, you had Bartholomew, you had Thomas and all that. And he sent them out. He took them as disciples and sent them out. It was based on the fact that he sent them out to preach in Matthew 10 that they were called apostles. So they were called apostles based on that work, that mission. You discover in chapter 10 of Luke, he sent another 70. But those ones were not called apostles. And you will see why. Out of the 70, those ones were not called apostles. They were his disciples. They were the other 70. And we have a couple of folks who, church history lets us know they were there. Now, when Jesus died, and then they were apostles, now listen carefully, of the present ministry of Jesus in the four gospels. He sent them out to preach that he is here. Now, when he died and rose from the dead, he appeared unto them, the 11 folks. Now, he had risen from the dead. He now appeared unto those 11. Now, in Mark chapter 16, he appeared unto these 11. In Mark's account. And he told them in verse 15 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew 28, the account has it a bit differently. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appeared to them, appointed them. When they saw him, this was minus Judas, they worshipped and some doubted. And he said to them, all power in heaven, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. So he sent them out in verse 19 and then verse 20. So he sent them out because they had seen him. They were eyewitnesses of his life. They were eyewitnesses of his death. They were eyewitnesses of his burial, and they were eyewitnesses of his ascension. That's why in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, you will discover that when they wanted to replace Judas, the qualifications that they gave, the apostles gave, about replacing Judas in Acts chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore these men which accompanied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out from among us, verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John, okay, to the day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection. So they were apostles, so called, because of the witness of the resurrection. The witness is the beginning of his ministry, the witness the fact that he died, the witness the fact that he rose from the dead. Now, when Paul also was going to describe the ministry of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, he says it like this. Verse 3, and I delivered unto you first of all which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how that he was buried and he rose from the dead, or again the third day according to the scriptures, and how he was seen. So the authenticity of the gospel that we preach is based on the fact that it was seen of the 12. That includes Matthias, including Peter. Now that's the word Cephas. Then after that of 400-500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains up to this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that it was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So there was the 12, then there were the other apostles. So basically the role of that, the 12, was to be witness, to be witnesses of his death, his burial, sorry, his life, his death, his burial, and his ascension, his resurrection, then his ascension. They were to be witnesses. Now in Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, verse 33, the Bible says that these same people, with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. So they were witnesses of his resurrection. And upon that, the foundation of faith was laid. Because the Bible says, if Christ be risen not from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15:14, then you are in your sins. Then our gospel is vain, then your faith cannot work. So it's based on the authentic witness, authentic evidence that they gave to us about the resurrection of Jesus, which is documented, upon which the Bible says that it was, the church was founded upon the foundation of this apostolic work. That's upon that the evidence that they gave that the scriptures were built upon. You could see that even Paul, the apostle, relied on their evidence. So he said, the gospel I preach unto you is confirmed by the 12 that saw Jesus when he rose from death. So the 12, the apostolic office, is what they call, we call, and what we learned from Brother Hagin, they are the foundational apostles. That they are foundational in the sense that they were eyewitnesses of the accounts that we have today. They were eyewitnesses of that account. So their apostolic office is what I call is transitional. When Jesus chose them, he didn't just choose them to just preach in Matthew 10. He also chose them to be witnesses of his resurrection. So they were transitional. That is, they were pre-elect. They were elect apostles of the New Testament. So they functioned from the Old Testament, which was transiting into the New, into the New Testament dispensation that we have today. So those 12, we could authentically also say that they are also ministry gifts of the church today. So they were transitional from the point when Jesus began his ministry to 3.5 years, then when he died, when he was buried, he rose from the dead, they witnessed it, and they gave that witness to us today. It's based on that that we believe, and we, and of course we have the not just that they just give us gist like they were journalists. We have the evidence of Jesus' resurrection from the scriptures. What they saw, how they saw it, what happened was evidence in the scriptures. But they were human, because if you say Jesus rose from the dead and nobody saw him, I would just believe in the scriptures. People actually saw him. And based on the scriptures, we believe that people saw him. And that's why we teach and preach what we preach today. So basically, their role was foundational in nature. Very foundational in nature. Because everything that we believe today in the church is based and founded upon the fact that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. If you force any of those three accounts, everything that Christianity lays is built upon, it goes to nothing. Because that's the basic thing that holds together our faith. If Christ has not been risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain, then you are yet in your sins. Praise the Lord. Let me see how you're getting that. Is that clear to you? So that was transitional in nature. So they gave witness of the resurrection of Jesus, and so on and so forth. Now, why did I say that? I said that because of what I'm going to share with you now. Now, a couple of people are not used to the gifts of the Spirit. They are used to the move of the Spirit. And there's a difference. And you discovered, like I showed you last week, that that affected the beginning stages of the church. The way things were ministered, the way things were done at the beginning stages. Because they were used to a particular partner. You and I are human beings, we know that sometimes when you're used to a pattern of doing something, sometimes it can be difficult to adapt to change. You know, just like when Jesus sent the disciples to go out in all nations and preach the gospel to every creature. But they have been used to preaching only to the Jews. In fact, there was a time Jesus met in their presence a Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15, and the woman said that, I want my daughter to be healed. And Jesus said, look, I'm not sent to you, but only to the Lordship of the house of Israel. And then Jesus almost discouraged her, as you would think in that story. Jesus now, in answer to Jesus, Jesus said, I won't give the food of the bread that belongs to the children to the dogs. The dogs refer to those who are not Jews. And the woman said, even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus said that I've not found faith, no, not in Israel. And you don't understand what happened there until you come into the New Testament, what we call the Epistles, the New Testament, where you find that Paul actually taught that he's a man that believes that he's a Jew. So really, that woman qualified for the blessing by faith. But that won't be seen in the four Gospels because it was a sense knowledge account of Jesus' ministry. It's when you come to the Epistles that you understand the relevance of that statement. And the only two times Jesus talked about great faith were to Gentiles in Matthew chapter 10, when he was talking about the centurion, and then Matthew 14:15, the Syrophoenician woman who were not Jews but they believed. So the essence of really partaking of the blessing is not being naturally a Jew, is actually to believe in the promise of God, to believe in the word of God. Now, oftentimes, and so those folks that he sent out who were Jews, interestingly, they had been used to just preaching to Jews. So from Acts 1 to Acts 10, they stuck to Jews. Even up till Acts 15, they just talked to Jews. They just ministered only to Jews until Paul came in by revelation. Not revelation of just seeing Jesus in the vision, but revelation of the scriptures. Then he was able to communicate the same gospel to the Gentiles. You can get our tapes, the book of Galatians, an introduction is out there. I explained a couple of these there. Now, just the same way, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, people know about the move of the Spirit. And a couple of people still function today in the Holy Ghost the same way those folks under the Old Testament did function. But you see, things have changed, just like worship has changed. The way we praise God in the New Testament has changed. It's changed from the way they praise God in the Old. The way we pray has changed. The way we relate with God. We don't come to God like it did in the Old Testament. We don't go to the temple. We don't approach the temple. We are the temple of God today. Praise God. We don't confess our sins before we pray, because Jesus Christ is a propitiation of our sins and for the whole world, 1 John 2:2. We have fellowship with God. We have a right standing with God that comes only by the blood of Jesus, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. We are not redeemed with blood of bulls and goats, which was a shadow of things to come, Hebrews 10:1. But we are redeemed by the very blood of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. So, having seen that, you know, it takes a lot. If you have been used to the Lord for a long time, it takes a lot for your mind to be renewed. A couple of people too like that, when they hear teachings like this, they think it's strange because they have been used, maybe some people have been born again for 10 years and they have never heard it before that they were righteous. They have never heard it before that they are sons of God. They never heard it before that the power of God is in them. So it takes a while sometimes to get your mind to be accustomed to the truth of God's word. The same way, you discover that under the Old Testament, the things of the Holy Ghost functioned by the Holy Ghost moving on people. You hear, and the Holy Ghost came on him, then he prophesied. That was in the Old Testament. And the Holy Ghost came on him, and he prophesied. And that's the same way today, when, for instance, somebody is born again, and you want to minister what we call the being filled with the Holy Ghost to him, and then you get to him, naturally, because he's used to that kind of scenario, he waits for something to happen to him. Okay? He thinks something has to happen to him. When you ask a Christian, for instance, to pray for a sick person, he will go there and then he will, because he's used to, and the Holy Ghost came on. So he actually believes that something has to happen before he lays hands on that fellow. But you see, in the New Testament, in the epistles, the things of the Spirit of God function as gifts. As what? As what? Gifts. It doesn't function that same way. You will find gifts of the Spirit under the Old Testament, because you can only find gifts of the Spirit when your spirit is recreated. I taught all that in the first series concerning spirituals, but I just want to go over that here. You can only find gifts of the Spirit have to do with a post-redemption era. It's a post-redemption era. It's not before redemption. You will find the power of God in manifestation in the Old Testament the same way you'll find it in manifestation in the New Testament, in the epistles, but how is different. in that era, the Holy Ghost will come on them, then he will leave. It will come and he will leave. The prophet Elisha called a minstrel in 2 Kings chapter 4, chapter 3, and he says, call a minstrel when he plays, then the hand of the Lord will come upon me, then I'll prophesy. But you see, that doesn't happen in this dispensation. Because the Holy Ghost is now in us. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is now in us. So it's not, the Holy Ghost does not come on us. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is now in us. The Holy Ghost now dwells within us. So whatever happens as a result of that indwelling of the Holy Ghost is called gifts. It's a demonstration of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. It's not an action of the Holy Ghost on you. That's the mistake. It's not an action of the Holy Ghost on you. Look at Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all standing what is one accord. And there came from heaven, as a sound of mighty rushing, filled all the house where they were seated. The Bible says they appeared unto them, clothed with as of fire, and sat upon each and every one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Watch verse 4. And they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Watch that. He gave them utterance. Notice something. They were full of the Spirit, and then utterance was produced. That is, the ability to speak was produced by the Holy Ghost. So today, every one of those children, these things that we're going to talk about in a moment, those things they don't come to you to work. They come from within you. They are a product of the indwelling of the Spirit. It's not an action. It's not something that comes to you, then you do something. It's a function of an indwelling of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. This is a very basic thing, really. A very basic truth. It says, there are diversities, verse 4, of gifts, but the same Spirit. Say with me, the same Spirit. Notice that. It says, the same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. The only diversity is in the gifts. But it's the same Spirit. Now, notice something about that. In verse 13, I want us to all read it together, verse 13. One to go. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink. Can you see that? So, the gifts of the Spirit dwell in every believer. The gifts of the Spirit dwell in every believer. Note that. The gifts of the Spirit dwell in every believer. And why does it dwell in every believer? Because the gifts of the Spirit are in Christ. That's very key. Because I'm going to show you something in a moment. I explained last week, but I think some of you didn't exactly get it properly. Now look at verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. This is where we're going to start today. I hope we can run. Now, listen, now, look up, let's look at it. Take away the verses from that place. Take away 4, 5, and 6, okay? And take away verse 7. We'll do a little bit, something a bit constructive now. Verse 4, we'll take it away. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations. The word administration there is ministry. Okay? But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God that worketh all in all. Now, he worketh what? All in all. He worketh what? The gifts in the ministries. Now, you know something? If you are a bit religious in your mindset, you could see it like this. These are the gifts. These are the ministries. and then these are the operations. I'll use a small illustration for you in a moment. Let me have three people come. Come, three people. Okay, a lady now. We always want a lady. Come up here. Yes. Better you come up. Alright, now. Watch this. I think I did last week. Okay, I'll do something else. Come. Come to the middle. Now see something clearly. Let me tell you what Paul was really teaching. So that you would think that Paul was teaching about gifts, tongues and all that. But let me tell you what he's teaching. He's actually teaching this. This is his emphasis. Okay? Now, this is the gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same what? The same, so take away diversity of gifts. So the same, beautiful. Difference of administration, the same, that's ministry. Then, workings. Workings of what? Huh? Workings of the gifts in the ministries. Alright, let me allow that. Now, listen carefully now. Where is the Lord? The Lord there, what does he refer to? The body. Right? The body of Christ. Right? Are you with me? The body of Christ. Now, where is the Spirit? In the body of Christ. So, what is the operation? How the Spirit works in the body of Christ. Now, the gifts are gifts of the Spirit. You don't have the body without the Spirit. By one Spirit, you were baptized. Now, you come. I'm just doing like a basic one. By one Spirit, this is the Spirit, is baptized into the body. So it's part of, So since he is in the body, he has been made to drink of the, right? So where is everything located? So the working is where? In the body. Let me see if you understood that. You can go and see everybody. So what Paul is exactly teaching here is really the ministries. Because as we're going to read further, the gifts work in the body. Verse 5 refers to the ministry. Verse 4 refers to the gifts, the abilities. Verse 6 now refers to how the abilities work in the different parts of the body. The ministry refers to the different parts of the body. The Spirit is in the body. So, the gifts of the Spirit work in you because you are indwelt by the Spirit. The ministries refer to your role in the body. The working, the operations refer to how that ability is ministered through you. How that ability is ministered through you. When it says there are diversity of the gifts for the same Spirit, every believer has the same Spirit. Correct? Okay. But it says there are diversity of ministries but the same body. Every believer doesn't have the same ministry. So therefore the way the gifts will work in us will be different. Praise the Lord. Do you get that? Is that simple? The way the gifts will work in us will be different. Because we are not all the hand. We are not all the leg. We are not all the feet. We are not all the waist. I mean, we are different. That difference we are going to see in a moment. So, based on that, the same life flows in our body. The same Spirit flows in our body. But if I'm going to pick a jug, I'm going to pick it with this. If I'm going to clean it, I'm going to use, you know, different things will happen, but it's the same power, amen, the same ability that is within the whole body. But there are diverse uses of that ability based on the where we are placed in the body. Hallelujah. Are you with me here now? Now look at verse 7. And that verse 7 clears it. Verse 7 says, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Now, that every man is every man in the church. So it's referring to every part of the body. Okay? That's okay? Every part of the body has the manifestation of the Spirit. Every part in the body has the manifestation of the Spirit. Say, I have the manifestation of the Spirit. So it's been given. Every part has the manifestation in the body. Now, you begin to read a couple of things. You will see verse 8. To one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge, the wisdom, to another, you see the word another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of the Spirit by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now, you know, if you, because religious mind will say, well, that means each of us is giving something, you know, differently, but you will be reading something else if you think like that, because it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same. Are you there? The same Spirit doesn't differ. The same Spirit. Now, hold on a bit. The same Spirit. So when it says to one is given, it's not talking about people, it's talking about the distinct, quote, gifts of the Spirit. Distinct gifts of the Spirit. That there is a gift of the Spirit called word of knowledge. There's a gift of the Spirit called word of wisdom. There's a gift of the Spirit called design of the Spirit. There's a gift of the Spirit called gifts of healing. There's a gift of the Spirit, you know, called workings of miracles. Now, the verse 11. Don't forget what I told you. I said the emphasis of Paul was ministry. You as an administrator of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, look at the next thing. But all this, worketh one and the self same Spirit. Now, the word worketh is the same word in verse 6, right? Correct? Are you there? Are you following me? All this worketh. So it goes to verse 5. All this worketh. All this worketh. People think in verse 11 is referring to gifts. He now brings verse 6. He explains verse 6. I've been told you of what is in verse 4. He now explains verse 6 in verse 11. All these 9 things he has mentioned, worketh, operates, the one, and the self same Spirit, dividing to who? Who is every man? Huh? The parts of the body. Dividing to every part of the body. Dividing to every part of the body. That word dividing is to distribute. It distributes to every part of the body. Now, how? How? He jumped to as he wills. You see? Huh? The key word there? Severally. What do you mean severally? That means there is no one gift for one part. Everyone has access to severally. Are you there? Let me see if you got that. It divides to every man, every part of the body. Severally. As he will. Now, when it says severally, as he will, religious mind will say, as God wills. No. 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 Go back to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but what? There are differences of what? Administration, ministries, the same? Okay? There are diversity of operations. Is the same God that worketh what? All the gifts in the... Okay? So all the gifts in every believer. Amen. Isn't that clear? Every man. Okay? So verse 11 says, all this worketh the one and self-same spirit, dividing to every part of the body, every man. Amen. Severally, it distributes to every part of the body, severally, as he wills. As he wills. The word wills there is desire. The word wills there is desire. Now, you wouldn't use the word divide, distribute, severally, and then you will now use another word as you will. Something is contradictory there. Let me see if you're getting that. I can't give you severally, distribute something severally, and then it is still called as I will. That means it wasn't distributed. That means it wasn't several. So when it said as he will, who wills? As each member in the body wills. As each member in the body wills. As each member, the word wills there is the word need. Need. It's the same word that was used when Jesus, when he multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then the Bible says, each man had his own field. The same synonym. It's the same word used in Acts 2, when the Bible says that when those folks sold their goods and all their houses, and they gave to each man as he needs. It's the same word, as he wills. So, the as he wills, in Bible synonym, refers to the recipient and not to the giver. Hallelujah. I've taught that over the years. Amen. I think some of you already know that. So, basically, what is he saying here? He's saying that the gifts of the Spirit, watch this, function to the degree of ministry. It functions to the degree of ministry in the church. The essence of the gifts of the Spirit are in the church. That is why in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul proceeds and he goes to verse 27. Now before verse 27, from verse 14 down, it begins to tell you that we are all members of the body. That every one of us, we are members of the body. So he gets to 27. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. Look at 28. Hallelujah. Look at 28. Let's take 28 together. One to go. And God has... What is Paul teaching in verse 28? The operations of the gifts. And I say, as God has set, referring to the operations, that the gifts in the church will function like this. When the gifts function, they will function through an apostle, they will function through a prophet, they will function through a teacher, after that, workers of miracles, then gifts of healings. It's now teaching on the walking. Because the link between the ministry and the gifts is what? The operations. Not the gifts. Now we've said it here before that the operations themselves are what? Gifts. They are given by God. But technically, we refer to the 9 as the gifts. Then this other ones listed here as the ministry. Then the way these ones function in the church. That's why I said, are all, do all, do all. That is the working of the gifts of the Spirit in the church. So, where we differ in the church is not in the gifts of the Spirit, it's in the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. We don't differ in the gifts of the Spirit, we only differ in the ministry of the gifts. Don't forget, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. to profit without. But the ministry does not work with every man the same way. That's why I said, are all apostles? Of course it's no. Do all speak with tongues? We'll get to that one, you know, in a moment. Do all speak with tongues? So, he's referring to the distinction of ministry. Now, you will discover that there are three listings that I ask you to read. If you get to Romans 12, Romans 12, verse 4, says that we are members, we have many members in one body. And all the members have not what? The same function. Now, look at verse. You know, you can read this place and say, well, so verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one member of one another. Every time you hear members, it's referring to ministry, not to ability. The next verse now says, having then gifts. You know, you can say, okay, so we have different gifts. No. Look at what he said. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. That's function. That's operations. That's why the next thing he talks about prophecy, teaching, ministry, exhortation. That list is different from 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. Having then grace that differ, what differs here is the function. So we don't have the same function. So the gifts of the Spirit will not work through us the same way. But the gifts of the Spirit will work through us individually. But not the same way. Let me see if you are getting this at all. Are you following this? So it will work the same way. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, he now talks about, he gave gifts unto men. He says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for now. Notice this. The list in Ephesians 4:11, and I often say this to pastors. The difference, look, let me put it in a way you can understand. The job of those five in Ephesians 4:11 is to do what? Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. I want you to read it. When we talk about members, what are we referring to? Don't forget. That is ministry. That is administrations. When we talk about gifts of the Spirit, what are we referring to? The indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Right? When we talk about function, we are referring to the operation of each part of the body that will differ. Is that clear to you? Now, go to Ephesians 4:11. Open your eyes to something now. Now, let's go. He gave some apostles. So he gave some. So there is a part of the church called some. Those some, look at their work. Look at their work. For what? Did you see something? For what again? For the maturity of what? Who will now do what? The role of the five is to do what to us? For what? Those five will definitely help us find our place. Can't you see it? For the work of the ministry. They are not the thing about the apostle, prophet, pastor, and teacher is not that, oh, they have some gifts of the Spirit we don't have. The grace on them, their part in the body, is to see us all function in the gifts of the Spirit. They will mature us in the things of God so that we all function in our own offices for the work of the ministry. So the role of a pastor, an apostle and teacher, the real role is not all this come and pray for me, you are blessed, take your blessings. Is to mature you.
so that you will now, what? You will stand in the office, in an office, in a function in the church, in the body of Christ. So the role, really, again, that the working of the fivefold, the working of the fivefold is what we now saw in Acts 13 that I read to you last week and the week before, in Acts 13 and 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7, where Paul says that the gift that was made obvious in you, Paul was fulfilling the role of Ephesians 4:12 for the work of the ministry. So the primary role of the fivefold is to train you for ministry. Is to train you for ministry. That's what they do. You discover that the miraculous that Stephen saw and Philip saw, really, the gifts of the Spirit worked in each one of them. We saw in the life of Philip, we read last week, there was a gift of healings, there was workings of miracles, there was a gift of faith. Obviously, in his life. We saw something like Stephen. Same thing. Even Stephen had utterance gifts. They couldn't resist the wisdom by which he spoke. We saw that. But how did they come into that place of function? Through the apostles. So the difference really is not in the gifts of the Spirit. The difference in the function is in how we function in the church. It's not with the abilities that rest on in the body of Christ. See, the power of God rests in the entire body. But there is a distribution that happens based on the way we all operate. That's what happens. So there's no believer that has lesser gifts of the Spirit. All the nine are working in every Christian. So the role of the pastor is to see that you mature in the church. You mature in the body of Christ in how things work through you. How things function through you. Hallelujah. Are you following this? I'll show you something. Go to that 1 Corinthians 12. Something a bit basic, I'll show you now. Now, you know, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, right? Right? Beautiful. He wrote this letter to the Corinthian church. So, he didn't write it in chapters and verses, did he? Now, let's follow a thought. He told them that they have come behind in no gifts. Correct? Is that correct? Beautiful. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Now, let us now read his thoughts to them. In 1 Corinthians 12, he said they are divided of the gifts of the same Spirit. He now told them that there are, verse 10, there are kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. Okay? Now, in verse 28, he says some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that. Now, notice that word after that. It seems to separate it. I'll explain that as we go on. After that. Then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Of course, we know, you know, folks who are not well taught, say, you see, we're not supposed to all speak with tongues. I asked you to do something last week. We've all seen that verse 28 is what? God has said something. What is that one? Operations. So good. Now, so it says, are all. Now, look at verse, I asked you last week, what was in verse 28 that was not asked in 29 and 30? Eh? Do all interpret. That was never placed in 28. Rather, what is said in 28 was diversities of what? Tongues. Right? Now, notice again, what was said in 28 that was not asked? Helps are what? We'll see why later. We'll see why later. Why? He talked about helps and government and he asked the question in 29. Now, go on in chapter 14. It appears like Paul split diversity of tongues into two when he asked the question. He now said, do all. He didn't say, do all have diverse kinds of tongues. Rather, he said, do all what? Speak with tongues. Do all interpret. So, what he did there was to split it. Interestingly, what people do today is to, they do as though he was talking about two different things. No. We're talking about one thing. The diversity of tongues is to speak and to what? Interpret. Interpret where? Where? All these things that were said here, they are to function where? As ministry. Come on, are you following? Huh? Now, look at chapter 14. Paul now taught, he that speaks in tongues, verse 2, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He that prophesies, verse 3, speaks unto men to edification, and exhortation, and comfort. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself. He that prophesies in the church. I would that you all speak with tongues. That say, I want you all to speak with tongues. Okay? He now says, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues, except he interpret, and the church may receive edification. What's Paul teaching? Paul is actually asking them that they should interpret tongues. Where? In the church. But if you are on your own, do you need to interpret tongues? No. So that means that he's talking about tongues here for what? The operation of tongues for what? For ministry. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12:8, he uses tongues, says diverse uses of tongues. So tongues has a diverse use. There's a diversity even in tongues. Tongues has its private use, it has its public use. When he got to verse 28, he now mentioned the use of tongues where? In the public. Which is what he's teaching here. As he goes on, he now says in verse 12, for I know that you are all zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may seek to you may excel to the edifying of the church. Verse 13, let him that speaks in tongues, what should he do? Pray that he may interpret. Let him pray that he may interpret. That is, what is he talking about? People think what he's saying is that when I'm praying to God in tongues, I should now pray and say, now how do I pray that prayer? I should now pray for the interpretation. Don't forget, he's talking about in the church as we are gathered like this. He says, anyone who speaks in tongues publicly, what is he referring to? Go down. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. Right? Then I'll pray with tongues. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Hells, this is what explains what he's saying. Hells, when you bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the learned say amen at your giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what he's saying? Now, is he talking about your private life here? He's talking about when you are praying for people in church. Pray in the spirit and pray in the what? Understanding. That is for ministry. Not in your private life. Because nobody is supposed to be saying amen for you. Hallelujah. But if you are praying in tongues, who are you talking to? God. Does he need an interpretation? Talk to me. No. So he says, it is someone who is in the church who needs to say amen. He says, for verily, verily you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Because when I'm praying in church, I'm actually praying privately too. Do you understand? And I'm also praying publicly. Look at it. How it says now, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Let's see verse 19 together. Where to go? Yet in the church, I rather... What are you talking about? Praying. When you want to pray, or you want to lead people in prayer, you want to lead people in the place of worship. Why? Why did he say that? He said because there are some people that will be in church who are not Christians. And there are those who are Christians, but who are not well taught. He calls them the unlearned. Those are the ones that have problems with tongues. Not the man who is speaking. Now let's go somewhere. Paul now says this. He says, if the whole church, verse 23, comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and they come in the unlearned or unbelievers, would they not say that you are mad? Does it mean you are mad? Verse 24. But if all prophesy, what is he saying? If all speak with tongues and do what? They are coming one that believes not, nor unlearned, is convinced of all, is judged of all. Those are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. How is he then brethren? When you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now, listen carefully. Don't forget we are talking about operations. Ministry. Watch this. Because I cannot say, well, you see, I don't have the ministry. Wait. If any speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or by three, and by that course, let one interpret. But, so that but really is supposed to be an exception. But, okay, if there be no interpreter, why would there be no interpreter? Is the interpreter a special gift? No. Let him keep silence in the church. And let him do what? So that means you can be in the church and speak in tongues to yourself and to God. Correct? Good. Let him speak to himself and to God. What is he saying? What is he saying? Why would there be no interpretation? It's very clear. He says, let him that prays in tongues pray to interpret. He said, I will desire to excel. Look at it, 12. Desire that you may excel to edify the church. Because in verse 31 of chapter 12, he says, when it comes to operations, you can desire. Covet, desire the best gifts. Desire the best gifts. He's not talking about the apostle, the prophet, or the teacher. He's talking about the after that. Those ones he listed after that are a function of desire. Because you are going to see later that the apostle also has gifts of healings. He has tongues, diverse use of tongues. He has workings of miracles. Same with the prophets and same with the teacher. Let me see if I'm getting this. So when it comes to the other things he said after that, they are a function of what? So if you are here now and you can't interpret tongues, it's a function of your desire. That's it. And that desire is based on your knowledge. You have not been well taught. That's the first thing. That's why he brought this knowledge. You have not been well taught. Again, you are thinking that you are spoken in tongues, oh, then the Holy Ghost will come on you. Then you now see what you are saying. The same stream. It says, there is no gifts, but the same spirit. There is no other spirit that gives that interpretation, but the same spirit that gave utterance. Because in Acts 2, the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Utterance to do what? To speak. Both with tongues and interpretation. And why won't I receive the utterance? Knowledge. We have seen that. Knowledge. Knowledge. So where we differ, why somebody here will not be able to interpret tongues, is not because he has not been taught. Sorry, not because he doesn't have the ability to. He has just not been taught. So when it comes to operations in the church, it will also depend on what? Our maturity. He gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for what? For more effective operations. Hallelujah. Are you getting that? Because you have not been well taught. If you have been well taught, it will not be a problem. You know, the first time I interpreted tongues, for me it was like a miracle. I was walking on the street, and a friend of mine said, you know, you just took the interpretation. I was so happy. And you know, I was so happy I gave a testimony. So one day, when I was now well taught, I said, yay. I now noticed that every time I spoke with tongues, every time, that along the line, I knew the interpretation. But most of the time, because I was not well taught, that operation was not given expression. The same way that when you first were speaking in tongues, I mean, when you first spoke in tongues, your mind was wondering that you were saying nonsense. That's the same way interpretation has always been in that. You thought you were going to say nonsense. If the tongues are not nonsense, interpretation is not nonsense. Hallelujah. Are you getting this?
Are you following at all?
Nobody just knew about things like this. Where have you been?
You don't know this. Where have you been? You are still here to speak in tongues every day. You speak it as his spirit moves on you. See, as his spirit wills. He has willed. Hallelujah. He is left for you to will. Praise God. He has willed. He is left for you to will.
So the operations, we are going to start seeing them next week. The first three, the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher, said after that. It's after that that we now see the operations within the church. These things are available in the church. The gifts of healings, the workings of miracles. Amen. You see, he didn't mention elves and governments. I'll get there. You know? And that is of tongues. They are now available in the church. It's now a function of your pursuit. Of your pursuit. So say, oh, Pastor, well, maybe I'm not called. You know, so say I'm not called. That's why you need a pastor. So he will perfect you for the work of ministry. So that means that when pastors teach us, we are called. Hallelujah. Don't go and say, I know a pastor will call you. You are on your own. But I think you understand what I'm saying. Is when we are brought up well in the word of God, it will appear like God called us. It will appear like God, okay, God is calling us. We are receiving. We are receiving what we had always been given. Amen. That's what someone will say, wow. And the person will say, wow. And maybe after today, he just begins to interpret his tongues. And he thinks that the interpretation was given to him today. No. The day you were born again, the manifestation of the Spirit was given. But when you learn the word, amen, that operation comes to the fore. So the thing of God's word is like, it gives you the access to the things that belong to you. Amen. Are you with me? Let's run. So, the gist really, in Paul's teaching. So, you see that when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, just I've read about tongues, it calls it diversities. And that diversity makes you see it. He explained it in chapter 14. What are the diversity of tongues? Tongues in my private use and tongues for ministry. Kinds of tongues. Don't say, there's tongues of angels. How does it sound like? Every time angels spoke, even unbelievers understood it. Have you? You don't think all of that? They understood. There is a tongue. They don't say they're speaking in tongues that you are speaking someone's language in Nicaragua. Who told you that? It's not true. Go and listen to tongues for the simple. It shows you are still simple. Your simplicity is good. No. So the gathering of tongues I taught by Paul is the same people you told that, look, in your private life, tongues, you speak unto God, not unto men. But when you're in the public place, it should be interpreted diverse uses of tongues. So when the gifts of the Spirit called tongues are to be used in the public place, it will come with what? It will come as what? God bless you. Diversities of tongues, not diverse kinds. Amen. And that will be what? Tongues plus interpretation. Very simple. So when it comes to operations, listen carefully. It is very clear that operations have a lot to do with us. They have a lot to do with us. I didn't say ministry. I said operations. That's why Paul told Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4:14. Look at it. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. 1 Timothy 4:14. Now, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Stir up the gift of God, which is in you, by the putting on of my hands. We have seen that when it comes to gifts of the Spirit, you don't determine it. They have been given. They are within every resident, they resident with every human spirit that is born of God. When it comes to ministry, you don't determine it. It's how you are placed in the body. We'll see that one later. When it comes to the operations,
determine it. That's why Paul could give instructions and a teaching on it. So what was Paul telling Timothy of that should not neglect? The what? What we teach like this, so that you put your mind on it. Many times people are wrongly taught. That's why you should hear the right things.